Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Life's hard times can either make us bitter or they can lead us to reach out to others. Naomi and daughter-in-law Ruth traveled to Bethlehem, where a man named Boaz ultimately cared for Ruth and married her. Today, more lessons from a woman of great faith. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Turn with us again to Ruth chapter 1 as we delve further into the story of empty stomachs, empty arms.
Ruth said to her, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. And where you die, I will die and be buried." Wow. And when Naomi saw that Ruth continued to cling to her, she didn't say anything more to her. And she and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem. And now we pick up the story. Verse 19, "So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' And she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi?'" Which, by the way, means pleasant. "Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Call me Mara, call me bitter, but don't call me pleasant." It's a very interesting story, and what I'd like to do is to give some lessons that we will learn about famines from the text. And then at the very end of the message, I'm going to tell you why this book was written and what the real lesson is for all of us. Thanks for joining me on this brief journey. I think that one of the lessons that comes to us from the text is that we should, in the midst of trials, rediscover the value of family. You say, "Well, why do you say that? Where are you seeing this in the text?" I find it very interesting that Naomi said, verse 21, "I went away full, and the Lord brought me back empty." And I want to say, "Naomi, what's going on here? You left full? I thought the reason that you went to Moab is because you were hungry. You had an empty stomach. You had very little to take with you. And now you're saying you left full." Well, if we could interview Naomi, I have no doubt that what she would say is, "I left full because when I left, I had a husband and two sons. And that husband and those two sons were of much more value to me than going to a country to try to get bread. I was full, and I didn't know it." Isn't that true in times of need? We recognize that the most important thing about us is really our families. Tragedy should drive us to one another and to realize how valuable it is. If you have a family, and some of you don't, and I'll speak to that in a moment, but if you have a family during a time of crisis, you have to value one another and hang together. I have received letters from men who made investments without their wife's knowledge and have lost money. And then from somebody else who got his wife's consent with a little bit of coercion, but blew their entire retirement on a plan that he thought would bring money, but of course it didn't. And that one ended in divorce. What a tragedy. See, that's the thing. When famines come, there's more arguments, more turfism. What ought to really happen is the opposite. My counsel to this man who wrote me a letter and told his story was, you have to humble yourself. You have to confess to your wife that you made a bad decision, no matter how well intentioned. Families need to humble themselves and to acknowledge that they need one another and learn to live and value one another all over again when times are hard. Rebecca and I have been to the Soviet Union and to Romania. And I tell you, we have been in little apartments where you have a kitchen that is so small that two wives can't be in it at the same time. One has to back out to let the other in. And yet in these small little hovels, you have two families living, sometimes three. And we wonder, how can they do it? By the way, and I'll mention this in another message when I talk about the ultimate collapse that is going to happen probably during the tribulation period. But one of the things that God does during hard times is to expose our consumerism and our need to live large, and he brings us down to a level of commitment and valuing those around us. Did you know that 28% of all college students now live with their parents because of our economic challenges here in America? People have to rediscover family. If you have a family, you are full, even if you're going through a hard time. There's another lesson that we must learn, and that is we discover the value of community, the value of community. Now I'm summarizing here, but Naomi and Ruth, they come back to the land. Naomi somewhere finds a place to live, I'm sure, and Ruth goes out in the fields. She's willing to do anything. She goes out to the fields, and she, in the field, is gathering grains that have been left over from the reapers. And now develops a romance. Because a man by the name of Boaz, who is of the family of Elimelech, he notices her, and he says some very beautiful things. He finds out who she is. And verse 8 of chapter 2, Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, don't go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have not I charged the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go and drink," etc. And he says in verse 12, "The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." What a beautiful phrase. And then he instructs the young men in verse 15. He says, "Deliberately leave some grain for this young woman to pick up. You know, don't take it all. Let her get some." And as a result of that, Naomi and Ruth are able to live. In fact, she takes the grain home, and when you have grain, you have bread. And you know, when times are tough, what you need is other people to help you. You need the encouragement of those who really even don't fit. I haven't made much of it, but Ruth, after all, was a Moabitess. Strictly speaking, there were some things that were said in the Old Testament about Moabites not being able to enter into the sanctuary, etc. The question is whether or not the sons of Naomi should have even married their wives, Ruth and Orpah, I should say. You knew I was going to do that, didn't you? And so what Boaz does, and I know there's romance involved here, is he helps them. Could I throw out a challenge to you today? Could you find somebody to help? And when I say somebody, let that be somebody who's poor, somebody who may be of another race, somebody who's been rejected, marginalized, who feels as if they don't belong, who aren't going to necessarily be sending out signals and saying, "Here I am, please help me." Would you reach out and help those who cannot help themselves? Would the community of God rise up when things are difficult? And while I'm at it, we here at the Moody Church have a fellowship fund. And that is because the fellowship committee gives out money to people who are in financial need. And I'll just simply lay it on the line and tell you that it is essentially empty. And the reason is we have more people making more requests. And this fund is investigated. That is to say, the committee investigates the need so that they're not giving out money frivolously. So the point is this, that what we need in hard times is community. If you're going through a hard time, don't isolate yourself. Don't say to yourself, I'm into a difficult period of time, and so what I need to do is to simply live alone and spend all of my time thinking about my fate. You need the body of Christ in a moment of need. That's the way God arranged it. There's something else that I find interesting in the text, and that is that we discover the opportunity to witness and evangelism. This is a beautiful story. Ruth is converted to the God of Israel. She said that when she was asked to leave Naomi. Your God shall be my God. Don't you love it? In other words, I'm leaving the gods of Moab, and your God is going to be mine. Just think of Ruth. She jumped through all kinds of hoops. First of all, there was the racial hoop. She was a Moabitess, not a Jewess. The religious hoop. She had to leave behind her pagan gods and accept a brand new religion, a brand new God, the true God, I might add. Just like some of you, you need to leave behind possibly the religion in which you were born, and you need to jump through that hoop and accept God as he is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Ruth believed in the Jewish God under whose wings she had found refuge. This is Pastor Lutzer. Let me strongly encourage you to listen next time to Running to Win, as in the next broadcast we conclude the message entitled Empty Stomachs, Empty Arms. And I'll tell you why. I'll give you a hint. We are going to discover that when Naomi died, this woman who called herself bitter, because the Lord, she said, had dealt with her bitterly, this woman had no idea of all that God was up to in the midst of her suffering. And I don't think that we do either. God has purposes and plans that you and I will never understand until we're in heaven, if he shows them to us. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you for your prayers and for your gifts. And I do hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win. And please have a good day all day.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Empty Stomachs, Empty Arms, the third of seven messages on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Next time, tune in to hear why having less means reaching out to others because you have to. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.